So we discussed yesterday a little bit about what a person could be thinking during Yizkor if they're not saying Yizkor. And obviously the concepts we discussed were relevant for people who are saying Yizkor as well, even if that's not the time that they may be focusing on them. But let's go a little bit weiter, a little more food for thought. So if we actually look at the tefillah itself, so we call it Yizkor, and the text seems to indicate that it's a tefillah to Hashem, that God should remember the neshamos of the people who passed away. So if that's the case, and we'll see the text in a little while, if that's a simple reading. So the word Yizkor in that context is, it's really mysterious, right? Anytime we talk about Hashem's memory, right? So what does that mean? He doesn't forget anything, right? So he doesn't need to remember it either. It's not possible to forget. So what are we really asking for in the first place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an all-powerful being. He's not a human who, sometimes forgets, sometimes remembers. What exactly are we asking for? So we know for us as Jews, there are certain times where we have a mitzvah of Zechira. If you look at the end of the Siddur and the Shacharis, so we know there's six Zechiros printed there. According to the Arizal, there's more, maybe as many as 10 things that a person's supposed to have in his or her consciousness. And we generally assume that a person should try to remind himself or herself of these points at least once per day. But we're human. So when you're human, we forget. So we add symbols and we have other reminders. Tzitzis, right? Tzitzis, the Pasuk says, we say this all the time in Shema. Laman tizkru vasisem is kol mitzvosai. That the purpose and the advantage and the benefit of that particular mitzvah, and, again, tzitzis is highlighted in the Torah explicitly, is to serve as a memory tool for us simple creatures who are prone to forget. Yes, even loved ones, persons prone to forget. It's not amnesia, but the pain of the loss, sadness that accompanies the memories of special people, they can also dissipate. In the same way that events, which while we were in the moment, we felt so impacted by and so inspired by that we could not imagine forgetting those moments, right? Those feelings and that experience can dissipate. So Chazal tell us that the fact that we forget people is, we don't have the same concrete and sharp sense of closeness with those memories over time is, it's actually a blessing. It's a blessing because if we didn't forget things, so then we would ultimately wallow in depression our whole lives, right? It's healthy for a person to move on to some extent over time because this type of forgetfulness, what comes out, if Chazal tell us that this is the way it works, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, that's the lesson of Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, this type of forgetfulness. So actually it's not so natural, but it's something that Hashem programmed or had to program for our benefit into nature to give humans that response for our own mental health. In the introduction to Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter writes, the original publication of the Sefer was shortly before the first Yahrzeit of the Rav. And he cites Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Shulchan Aruch Neches Avelos, that the foundation for our practice, at least in Chutz La'aretz, of an unveiling, of adding a matzeva to the kever after 11 months, specifically short of the 12-month period, is because, again, there's this gzera that amases nishtakach min alev after 1 year. There's a certain shear of zechira that persists, that endures for a year, and then after that point, it the same sharpness is no longer there. So therefore, we add the matzeva before the year is complete, before we've lost that the power of that memory, in order to perpetuate it a little bit longer. So that's why we have yard sites and the unveiling specifically before the yard site, carefully planned so we don't lose sight of memories entirely either, because that would be tragic. At the same time, that there's this bracha that we shouldn't always remember things as powerfully as we did, but the memories are still maintained, generally in a way that allows us to proceed with life. Interesting, just a couple weeks ago, perhaps in the shul at Yudavin on Parshas Kisetze, maybe you heard the Gabbai make an unusual announcement. Parshas Kisetze, as you know, the very end, the final psukim of Parshas Kisetze are the psukim of Parshas Zohar. Zohar is Asher Esal Chalmalik, B'derach B'tzeischem Mimitzrayim. So how often do we read that? We read that really twice a year, right? Once in Parshas Kisetze in the summer, but once in the context of the Mitzvah D'oraisa of Zechiras Amalek right before Purim. Right before Purim, and everyone comes to shul to take part in that mitzvah. Now, what's interesting is that on most years, it is just a year, no more, that goes by between the reading of Parsha Zohar, Purim to Purim, okay? However, every once in a while, we have a leap year. And we have a leap year, what comes out, Yitzi, is that there's actually 13 months from one to the next, right? And if there's a concept that the Gezerah, that Mesish and Shtaka went away, that after 12 months, a person's memory is not so strong. So what do we do in the years where the Zechira from 1 year to the next is actually more than 1 year because there's a leap year in this 13 months? So some Achronim, I think, following the footsteps of the Chassam Sofer, suggests an interesting Chumrah, or at least an Eitzah, that when we have a leap year, when we get up to Parsha Zohar in Kisetze in the summer, yeah, Joey Kalish, we should announce that everyone should have in mind that when the Baal Kori is reading the end of the Parsha, the Maftir, you know, the end of Shvi, everyone should have in mind to be Yotze, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, because this way we will not go 12 months without the Zechira. We'll have a few months after Purim, a few months till the next Purim, but you won't have a year. You won't have to go 13 months because if you're going 13 months, then you're already going more than 12 months. So that's just an eitzah to sort of circumvent the impact that the leap year gives us. Okay, but bottom line, we'll say again, the nusach and chazal, lashon chazal, is that it's a gezerah, meaning that normally, if you trusted human nature to run its course, a loved one normally would not be forgotten without this divine intervention. But if that is indeed so, that the human condition should be never to forget a soul, an neshama, a departed person. So all the more so, again, the prayer that Hashem should remember the soul is puzzling. Why is that something that we need to ask for? Why is it something we need to ask? That's a question on Yisker altogether. The truth is, we can ask a similar question, or at least hope to derive some clarity from the concept of Zichronos that we recite in Rosh Hashanah, right? Malchil, Zichronos, and Shofros. So Zichronos, the Gemara tells us, to be Mala Zikaron Lifnei Hashem, to present the memory of Klal Yisrael before the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the Gemara says. And in the psukim that are found in the section of Shemona Esrei known as Zichronos, we find throughout Tanakh references to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, like we saw yesterday, Kol Yitzurei Kedem, everything that was created since the beginning of time. Right? So, and not only that, but I'll give you one example of that pasuk, right? Ki zocher kol nishkachos, atahu me'olam ve'in shichcha levnei chisei chavodachu. We just said it last week. It's fascinating, right? Not only are we talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu remembering, zocher kol nishkachos, he remembers all that is forgotten, ve'in shichcha levnei chisei chavodachu, and there is no shichcha before you. So what are we talking about? Now, every time we find a similar lesson in a pasuk, Chazal asked, right, when it comes to coming back to Amalek. So it says, Zohar Sesher Salach Amalek, and then the Parsha ends with Lo Sishkach. So we're adding an additional layer of memory. Number one, to remember. Number two, not to forget. So furthermore, to do so in the context of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in Zichronos, during the Rosh Hashanah davening, it's really, really hard to understand. Really, really hard to understand. So what do we do? What do we do? So the Kuntres, Binyanin Mechanica of Rav Kralenstein, so he discusses the following. He quotes the following notion, that whenever you find the term Zechira, especially when we're dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's impossible to talk about memory the way we experience it and forgetfulness the way we experience it, Zayin Chaf Resh actually should not be defined and cannot be defined as memory at all, but rather the Shoresh refers to hisyachsus. What is hisyachsus? Hityachsut. So the shorash is yachas, right? We usually refer to yichus as a person's lineage, a person's connection, a person's descent from a certain ancestor, right? My yichus goes back to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Maybe I have a grandfather who was a great-grandfather, Aron Trarig, who was a big rav, big Talmud Chacham. That's my yichus, right? So zikaron, in certain contexts in the Pesukim, refers to his yachsus, but not descent and ancestry and lineage, but I'm related to something or someone. I relate to a certain phenomena. I relate to a certain phenomena. I relate to a certain person. It says in Parshas Noach, and Noach is obviously at the centerpiece of the Psukim in the bracha of Zichronos. But Yizkor Elokim as Noach was called Asher Ito. At the end of the rains, and the great Mabul, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remembers Noach and everyone who was with him. What does that mean? Hashem forgot about Noach. He just, you know, he brought the Mabul, went off and did something else, and then he came back and, oh yeah, I forgot about that Noach person. Let me get him out of the table. It doesn't make any sense. But Yizkor Elokim as Noach means Kadosh Baruch Hu once again began to be Mesiaches, to relate to him, to deal with him, to address him. In Parshas Baloscha, we blow the chatzotros, v'hariosim chatzotros v'neskartim b'fnei Hashem. Yeah, when you blow the shofar, when you blow the chatzotros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your memory will be brought before Hashem. Again, not memory, v'neskartim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be called upon to address you. That's what these psukim mean. And again and again and again, that's the only pshat in the psukim of a similar notion. It's true when it comes to human beings. When it comes to human beings, sometimes memory and relationship are directly connected. The more that you relate to someone, the more that you will remember them, right? The more you learn something, the more that it will stay in your head. There's a lesson we find in the Gemara, Milsa Derami Alei De'inish Mid Kredachalei. The more that I am engaged and I'm involved in something, the more that I remember it. Those of you who got to the bottom of the Gemara in Samuel Zion that we saw yesterday, if not, we'll see it soon. It's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that you tie a piece of the string onto the horns of the Sar Lazazel in order that the Kohen, or the individual, the Ish-Iti Amidbara, is continuously engaged in dealing with the Sar Lazazel, and he won't forget to look over there. Okay, we'll see that soon, Mr. Shem. But that's our Gisha in life, because that's our nature. The more that we're involved in something, the more that we will remember. Lo zocher sar mashkim is Yosef v'ishkachehu. The sar mashkim was not involved. He didn't deal with Yosef. He left the jail, and it was 2 years until it occurred to him that, oh yeah, there was this guy who might be helpful to Paro in interpreting his dreams, because they had no interactions. So maybe he forgot him. But both said that is our new working definition of zechira. That can also mean, it can also mean to deal, to address, to interact. And that's where it derives its connection to the zechir that we're used to. But when we're talking to the Ribbono Shalom, we're talking about Hashem being zocher, engaging and interacting with his creatures. So let's take a look at, like I said, at the nusach of Yizkor. I'm going to put this in the group. And here we find that lashon that we started with. Yizkor Elokim nishmas of Imori, or whoever it is, Ploni ben Ploni, Shahalach lo'olamo, Hashem should remember the neshama of the loved one who has already passed on to the next world. Bavor shani know their tzedakah bado, because of the fact that I'm going to pledge tzedakah on behalf of that neshama, like we discussed at length yesterday. B'schar zetei nafsho tzurura b'tzura chayim im nishmas Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleah shat tzedikim tzidkaniyos shebegan eden v'nomar amen. And with that zechus, with that tzchar from the tzedakah, the neshama, the person, should be bound up in the binding of the living neshamos in shemayim of the avos, of the imos, and all the other tzaddikim tzidkaniyos in Gan Eden. Okay, so let's try to retranslate it with our new understanding of what Yizkor is supposed to be. We're not asking Hashem to remember the loved one, because you, Hashem, of course, don't forget that person. Rather, reckon with his neshama, address, interact, so to speak, connect to that neshama, because he or she, that person's influence, that person's example, that was the impetus and the ultimate motivation for this act of tzedakah that, or any other mitzvah action the person is doing on behalf of the neshama. And let that be the reason to address the neshama, to associate that neshama, to see that neshama in the context of the holy avos and imos from which the neshama descends, just as the avos and imos served as a basis and a foundation for all generations of Jews that followed and their mitzvos, because they laid the groundwork for Torah and mitzvos and all future generations of Klal Yisrael. So too, the neshama of the parent, of the loved one, also served, maybe on a smaller scale, the indispensable next step in the fulfillment of your everlasting promise was the Shachal Pizarro. It comes from someone who came before me, someone who came before us. Hashem, take note of that. Hashem, respond to that. That's what Zechira means. Respond. Remembering is passive. It doesn't carry with it, per se, any deliberate action. But to be misyaches, to reckon with, to view or relate to that soul as part of our great Jewish family and its tzaddikim in Gan Eden, that's what Yizkor is asking for. Period. Now, if we ask Hashem to relate to this neshama, tfilos of this sort behoove us to do the same as we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do. In order for us to fully expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond in the same way, like we saw the other day, Toma Devora, davening works at least on one level because it implicitly changes us and improves us through the Etzem HaTzvila. That's what the Mefarshim, the Maharal, and others explain. That's why we have a right to ask Hashem for something, right? If Hashem was gozer on me, whatever it happens to be, you know, lack of health, chas v'shalom, right? So then how do I have a right to say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed that gezeirah? The answer is no. By a heartfelt tefillah, I actually changed myself and I'm no longer the same person, the same being, the same neshama who is subject to that gezeirah. So tefillah ultimately has that goal, and it has its strongest impact, like we saw in the context of the Yidgim Amidas Arachmim, when we act according to the principle of Halachta B'drach, of we're following in Hashem's ways. So we merit a different hanhaga of Mida Kenegan Mida, because we're now behaving in a certain fashion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it opens the door for him to act in a certain fashion towards us as well. That's what we expect of Hashem. Our new identity, our new behavior will earn a different hanhaga, Mida Kenegan Mida, right? That was the thrust of what we saw the other day. Yasul Fanak Seder Hazeh, which ultimately comes from the Gaonim, I believe. Not simply to say the words, but to adopt the words as instructive in my own behavior to be zochet mida keneged mida, and I hope Hashem will address us with that attitude as well. So that means, let's bring it back to Yizkor. Daniel Malul, right? We understand what we are asking for in Yizkor. Again, and to some extent, it applies to all of us as well, whether we're saying Yizkor or not saying Yizkor. There's a mindset we have to have. Yoni, Safir, ready? It means that we can be expected as well, or we need to expect of ourselves, if we're asking Hashem to relate to neshamas of those who have passed on, a human being in this generation can connect and be mesiaches and reckon with a heavenly soul of a previous lifetime, a previous generation, even if we're not living in that realm. We live in Olam Hazeh. We live in this human existence. Sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can exist as well in the Olam HaEmes or in Shemayim, simultaneously, because he transcends everything, so he can deal with the Olam HaNeshamos at the same time as he's dealing with us. The Chiddush, perhaps, is that we can too. We can too. Otherwise, we couldn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that, to achieve that Mida Keneged Mida. We don't dive into a Neshama. That is a fundamental of Jewish belief. It's one of the principles. We discussed it a couple weeks ago. An Imam Bemuna Shlema. She'ein royal lispal is lasso. There's no one else to dive into. It doesn't make sense to dive into anyone or any other being, because Hashem is the source of all kochos and the only source of kochos. Any other forces in nature or even the sublime and supernatural derive their koach from that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigns them. So a human being in this generation can connect. The Chiddush is, and be misyaches, to reckon with a neshama, with a heavenly soul of a different generation. We don't talk to neshama, but the more we understand what a neshama is, we are relating to it as well. And we are relating to the reality of that soul. And that's something you can do during Yizkor. Even if Baruch Hashem, you're not reciting Yizkor yourself. There's a very interesting suggestion that I saw published in the Madani Usher based on the Chidah. Right. The first one asks, why is it that when you go to a Shiva house or you wish someone condolences, you say, Hamakom Yinachem Eschem, B'soch Shar Aveli Tzion Yerushalayim. Hamakom Yinachem Eschem, B'soch Shar Aveli Tzion Yerushalayim. So we refer to Hashem in that context as Hamakom. Hamakom is, Chazal tell us, Hashem is the place of everything. Hashem is not located, cannot be assigned to a specific place, a specific location. Rather, everything else is located where God is, because he's everywhere. That's Hamakom. He is the ultimate and final place of everything. But the Shaila is, why do we decide to use that name of Hashem? Chaim, of all the different ways we refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, all the different Shemos, Noach, why is Hamakom chosen for this particular context of Nichol Maveum? So maybe we'll talk about several reasons on a different occasion. One answer is, because in English, right, you know, when in the colloquial and even a secular phrase, we would say that a person after they pass on is in a better place. The neshama is in a better place, a different makom, the right makom. So when we say Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, in addition to its layer of interpretation that refers to the Bon Shalom, Yoni, we're also saying Hamakom Yenachem, the place where the neshama is, should serve as something comforting for us, our own, because we know that our sorrow should not overcome us, because the neshama has passed to somewhere else where it appreciates better its surroundings, as it were. We find in the Rishonim, in the Pasuk of Losos Goldu, Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh tells us that a person should not overreact to the loss of a loved one in grief. Yes, we have extensive mourning behaviors that we practice in Yiddishkeit. We take them very, very seriously, but they're measured and it's never unrestrained, violent or impulsive. That's what the Pasuk Losos Goldu is telling us. Why? Ramban says, and others, right there, because the neshama is in a better makom. And that itself can provide a nechama, makom yenachem eschem. So why should I overreact? Why should I be violent or impulsive in my avelus if I know that actually on some level something good happened, something difficult, something very difficult, but something good happened? We need to relate to the fact, and the fact that there is a truth inherent in that message, that also relates to ourselves right here now. Our neshama, Baruch Hashem, is alive and well in our bodies. It will be alive and well always, maybe not always in our bodies, but it is eternal. And it's an eternal chelak of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is eternal. And it exists in tandem with the goof, and with the goof while we're on this earth, but it always really wants to be in that better place. A neshama always, you need to know this about yourself. Sometimes we don't know ourselves, our own psychology. Sometimes you need to pay a therapist to help bring it out, to be able to plumb the depths of what's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your emotions. So we need to work on understanding ourselves. And one thing to understand on our ruchnis level is that there's a part of us, lofty and sublime, an entity that's forced into the earthly existence that we primarily and consistently see and experience. But again, it's forced into that. It wants out. It wants out. The old Talmud writes, you say every morning, and in Moda'ani and in Elokai Neshama, Shachazarta bi nishmasi. You return to me my neshama. That lashon, grammatically, almost has a connotation that you stuck it back into my neshama. Yeah, maybe it didn't want to come back to me. Hachzarta bi nishmasi. The neshama didn't return to me. You had to be machzirit against its will. It would be very happy to take the night off while you're sleeping and stay there, but Hashem insisted that it return to the guf. So thank you, Hashem, for doing that, for giving me another day. As I simultaneously acknowledge, listen to this. When you say moda ani and Elokai neshama, it's so superficial, Josh, if the only thing that you have in mind is thank you, Hashem, that I have another day to live. That's true, and it must be acknowledged, but it's still a limited level of what the words are saying. What we're revealing now is that it's also a statement that I appreciate in this new day that I'm experiencing, that my identity encompasses something that exists on a higher plane besides my physical body. Something inside of me is also living on a higher plane that's striving to return to that ultimate existence constantly. If the loved one that a person lost, maybe a close relative, but it could be a grandparent or beyond that, you can relate to that neshama, and you can no longer, that even though you can't see it or speak or touch to it, just as you ask Hashem to be misyachis to it, not by speaking to it, not by davening to it, Chas Hashem, you can relate to it by thinking that where that neshama is, his or her vantage point is so much more profound and deep. The neshama disconnected from the gashmias perceives what's really important. It feels and knows what matters, even if it didn't always understand or know that while it was in this world, because it cuts through the illusion and darkness of our gashmias that blinds us when it's no longer in Almazah, when it's no longer shackled by that gashmias. In its true makom, at the home where it hails from, it sees clearly, right? It's almost like you're driving through streets that you're unfamiliar with. So if it's foggy and misty, without the GPS, you don't know where you're going. But if you're driving on the streets of the neighborhood where you grew up, you almost instinctually and instinctively make a right turn and a left turn, even when your vision is clouded, even when there's no visibility, because you know where you're going. You can navigate it. In its true makom, the neshama has that clarity. And even without someone else to mourn, there's no difference in the significance of the yiskar, because we too have a neshama to relate to. The person who's saying yiskar is relating to the existence of that neshama and its awareness and its yidia, and bring it back to themselves. And what you can do if you're not saying yiskar is to sit quietly in a place that's not a social scene and think about your own neshama. Relate to your own neshama that's striving for more. As the mashal of the Kutzker, Kutzker said, you know, when Hashem puts a neshama in this world, he also drops a ladder down. And he says to the neshama, your job, I'm putting you now on ground zero, is to climb and reach higher. But I'm going to pull away the ladder slightly out of your reach. And you're going to jump. You need to jump to get to it. Jump to get higher, to reach that neshama. And maybe if you hit the bottom rung, because Baruch is going to pull it a little bit higher. So you have to jump some more. And life is about jumping and falling, trying to reach what's just beyond our grasp, hoping that we'll be able to grab onto that bottom rung eventually. We fall sometimes. We miss that rung. But the people who are strong and the people who never give up and are always trying to bolster their spiritual power keep climbing and keep jumping and don't run out of steam, even if they've suffered some failures. That's how we relate to our neshama, our own personal neshama, during yiskur and always. Shehachzarta b'nishmasi, the thirsting for the closest Hashem that's inside me as we speak. That we can relate to. We can relate to the fact that neshama thirsts for more Torah learning, for more holy nourishment, for more mitzvos. And each and every day, each one of us has the same koach inside of us now to relate to the neshama that I passed, and our neshamas as well. And that's what yiskur can mean to a person. Hashem is being asked to relate to those neshamas, bring them higher and higher in the Olam HaEmes, and we can, earn that by relating more to our own neshamas and strengthening our awareness and the vitality of the vitality of the neshama, that it's alive and well and needs to be engaged in everything that we do. So it's not in the back of our consciousness, but it's in the forefront of our consciousness. So even though we feel our guf, we'll ultimately have the mindfulness of our neshama as well. That really is leading the guf and is the tachlis of the guf, and will never be forgotten. Will never cease to be what we engage in, what we connect with.